Intervju Radija Študent.
Drage poslušalke in cenjeni poslušalci, v današnjem RŠ intervjuju gostimo ameriško zasedbo Stinking Lizaveta, ki bo nocoj nastopila na odru Menze pri koritu na Metelkovi. Moja sogovornica bo bobnarka skupine Cheshire, za začetek pa bomo iz njihove aktualne plošče Sacrifice and Bliss slišali skladbo A Man Without a Country. Hello, Cheshire, and welcome on Radio Student.
Hello, thank you very much for having me.
First, I would ask you to introduce your band, Stinking Lizaveta, to our listeners.
Okay, but first I think you should teach me how to pronounce Lizaveta.
Just Stinking Lizaveta.
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 Awesome. In the South, they say Lizaveta.
Lizaveta.
Lizaveta. That's my country, though. So Stinking Lizaveta is a three-piece instrumental band. We have an upright electric bass, guitar, and drums. We formed in Philadelphia in 1994, and I've been playing U.S. and Europe ever since.
With other bands?
Oh, my have I been with other bands before?
Yes, okay, or? But we're going to talk this later. Tell me, the name of the band is very interesting. Okay, we know where is it from, but oh. Where did you get it?
Oh, we were reading Brothers Karamazov out loud to each other. Mm-hmm. And Alexei, our bass player, was interested in having a name that had some stones, you know. So the word stinking was very appealing to him at that time.
Yeah, sounds great.
You know, and of course, Stinking Lizaveta is a character in The Brothers Karamazov. She's mute. She's a street person. The good people try to take care of her. The bad people mistreat her. And she figures into the murder mystery in this book by Dostoevsky. So mm-hmm. We opened to the chapter, and it said, Stinking Lizaveta. And we were like, oh, yeah, that's it.
Simply. Today is going to be your fourth show on tour. How is tour going so far? This is not your first time in Europe.
It's not our first time in Europe, but it's our first time in Ljubljana. Very excited to be here. Yeah. The tour is going very well. We did not know what to expect. We have only been to the continent two times, and this was as a support act, first for The Hidden Hand and then for Weed Eater. So as a headlining act, we had no idea what to expect. We thought, okay, maybe zero people every show. We're going to be completely demoralized. It's going to be horrible. But this is not what's happening. There are people at the shows. They're really enjoying the music. You know, it's not like 700 people, but it's a good amount of people to make a show happen. So we're really happy. The person who puts us out over here, Andreas of Exile on Mainstream, if he hadn't had faith in doing it, we just wouldn't have done it. I mean, I believe him. If he says it's going to be okay, we'll do it.
You believe in his job and...
Oh, yeah, I believe in his expertise. He knows what he's doing, and he wouldn't do it if he didn't think that it was going to be at least a little bit okay.
Very positive.
Yeah.
When did you start? Actually, you told this before. How did you actually all met, you and the brothers?
Well, I was living in Philadelphia, playing in other bands, and I believe some of Yanni, the guitar player's friends, moved up to Philadelphia. And he was playing bass in their band. Mm-hmm. He saw me. I was playing in a band at the time called the National Wrecking Company.
What a name.
Yeah. Sort of swamp folk, singer-songwriter, blues kind of band. And he said something like, "Wow, you're the heaviest thing in your band, and I'm the heaviest thing in my band. And you're the craziest thing in your band, and I'm the craziest thing in my band, so we better make a band."
He probably liked your energetic drumming. Probably.
I think he did like my energetic drumming. I think that was pretty good bet. But then we couldn't find a bass player. Nobody wanted to play with us. I don't know why. I can't explain
reputation.
It. I'm going to have to cry now about this thing. So we found the upright electric bass in a basement of a friend's house who was also a bass player but didn't want to deal with this instrument. Mm-hmm. He wanted to play acoustic upright and also electric bass guitar. And so he sold us this upright electric for about $150. And basically what Yanni did was an older brother move on his younger brother. He said, "Look, this is your destiny. Come play bass for me." And so Alexi did.
Great. We can recognize many different music styles in your playing, from, I don't know, jazz, hard rock, math rock. It sounds a bit like a progressive rock. How would you specify your genre?
Okay, we invented it. And it's called, someone else had named it. It's called Doom Jazz.
Doom Jazz.
I don't know if I really... The Rock Detector magazine put together an encyclopedia of stoner, goth, and doom. And they listed us in their encyclopedia, and they called us Doom Jazz.
Doom
We've,
Jazz.
Yes, Doom Jazz.
Doom.
We'd never heard of Doom Jazz. But, you know, if someone wants to call us Doom Jazz, we'll go along with it.
Yeah, it's okay. It could be, should be jazz because it has some math rock, I don't know, parts, and that is jazzy.
Yeah.
Isn't it? I don't know. I also can hear, I don't know, Don Caballero in
certainly
some parts.
Certainly. Yeah, there's math rock influence in there because we like odd time signatures. Mm. You know, we like to play in seven and what. Like the cut you just played is a big, broad seven. You know, that's the whole thing, practically. The jazz part, I think, comes in because we're willing to let the music fall apart. There's through composition, but there are also sections of songs where we will just allow ourselves to go off, and we don't know where it's going. We're just going to play, and that means we're listening. Mm. We're trying to stick to the material, right? Because that's what jazz does. Mm. But we're listening for the moment now. And so that's, I think, where the jazz comes in. Mm-hmm. Plus, I like a nice little jazz fill, you know.
You released your records under three different labels. Is that right?
Oh, gosh, is it only three?
I stopped at three.
Oh, yeah, okay. So the, Joe Lally's label was Talada. He was very kind to put out one of our first singles. Also, Egg Yolk Records in Philadelphia put out another single for us. And then Joe put out, was it three? We were also on a Brian Dilworth's label, Compulsive Records, mm-hmm. Which is, both of those labels are now defunct. Mm-hmm. And then Atalos picked us up.
This is last.
This is
actual.
We are actually out on Atalos right now for the last two records. Maybe for the last three. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Like I said, I lost count of all these labels. Anyways,
whatever.
And then, but that's the United States. And then over here, our releases are on Monotreme, and that's out of London.
Let's talk about your latest record, Sacrifice and Bliss. How long were you preparing material for it, and where?
For about 6 months. More than 6 months, we were preparing.
Maybe on tour?
We did.
We typically
will write the songs, take them out on tour, play them live. Then we go back to the studio, the rehearsal room, and work out the details.
You recorded it in your practice place?
No, we didn't. We record our records in Chicago usually. The drums were recorded in Steve Albini's big drum room, and then Sanford Parker, who's really good engineer out of Chicago as well, put the drums into Pro Tools, and we went to his studio to record the strings.
You probably like big sound of drums, huh?
I love the big sound of the drums.
I like the sound of drums. It sounds very big and wide, and that's okay.
I'm glad that came out, because that's exactly what we were going for.
It's not tiny, like a spot.
It's
massive.
It's huge. Well, the drums were recorded in an enormous, like, three-story warehouse room, mm-hmm. Which is mostly made of cinder block. So they have an opportunity to sound very big. They're mic'd, you know, they're room mics, they're mics on the floor. The room is mic'd in several different places. Mm-hmm. And then there are close mics on all those drums. So there's opportunity for close and an opportunity for the sound of the room.
This is the first time you spent so much time on recording just drums?
This is the first time we spent 9 days in a studio with the good engineers. Most of our other records have been made in less time. Well, actually, no, that's not true. We spent a year working on one of them, and it never came out right. At least in my opinion. Buy it anyway. Enjoy it if you can. I won't tell you which one it is.
Whatever.
Yeah.
All your music is pure instrumental from very first record. Did you ever think about including voice, like Don Caballero did on Pangasm,
right.
Last record.
Right. No, we have, we tried out some singers. We thought about having a singer, but no one ever really clicked. So we just gave up.
No chemistry, no singer.
I think, and now it would have to be a very special person to fit into whatever it is that we're doing, I think. So we don't even look anymore. But if someone wants to try, you know.
Maybe tonight to like your music. I want to be
your
singer.
You got to be your singer, right?
How do you feel like a woman woman drummer in your trio? What was the reason that you actually started to play drums?
Me, to start to play drums?
Any special drummer?
No, it was a special bunch of people. Mm-hmm. Friends of mine had a band together. And I was curious about all this. I was basically sneaking around learning to play the drums from friends of mine because I saw that they had this band. I don't know why the drums was particularly interesting to me. Mm-hmm. It was the contraption and the full body experience of it. It's the body, yeah. I have to be completely involved. And then suddenly they needed a drummer for rehearsals because this drummer was was out of, I guess, I don't know, went to Italy or something to study glass blowing or something, lived far away. So they got me to fill in. And I was, the first time I played, I was completely sold. I was just like, this is exactly right. This is the thing for me.
Great. Tell me, who are the drummers that affect your playing? From the beginning?
From the very beginning, Maureen Tucker, the first drummer for the Velvet Underground. Mm-hmm. Huge admirer of her. And then Al Jackson from Booker T and the MGs. Mm-hmm. because...
Funky
stuff, but simple. I mean, he has...
Yeah, this is very simple.
He's a very gentlemanly, mm-hmm. musical player. Do you know what I mean? Like, he has chops out the wazoo. You never hear them unless it's completely necessary for the music, which I find... in other words, he's not a show-off. He plays the music, and I really admire that. So, okay, Al Jackson...
What about new drummers?
New drummers. Well, okay, in the middle period, I was influenced by a local drummer, Chuck Treese, who played in a band called McGrad. Actually, he played guitar in that band. Mm-hmm. But he was a fine drummer, and I really learned a lot from him. The drummer for the Bad Brains, of course. I mean, if you want to play well, you listen to that guy. Okay, big guys that everybody knows about, Alex Van Halen.
Yes, of course.
Because he can't, like, he plays the shit out of four, and you want to hear, excuse me, I can't say that on the radio, can I?
It's okay.
I'll try. My English is, my American is peppered with swear words, but
no problem.
I won't use any of them here, I promise.
After all, your drumming also sounds to me a bit minimalistic and not complicated.
Mm-hmm.
But it is heavy. The hits are on the right place, and
that's good to hear.
Really, honestly.
How would I know? No, that's what I'm aiming for, of course. Yeah. It is simple. It's. I don't know why. It's just that's how it comes out.
And it sounds also hard hitting. I don't know, Dave Grohl in
you know,
other body.
The way I figure it is, I brought the drums all this way. I might as well play them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Kabam!
I like playing like this is my last show. I will play it till
right, exactly.
I like this. You're probably familiar with current music scene. Which music is loaded in your music player, or what is the last record you bought, or few last records?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
McCoy Tyner did a live record in San Francisco in 2006. I just got that, and I can't stop listening to it. It's unbelievable. McCoy Tyner's jazz piano.
Mm-hmm.
I bought a Susie and the Banshees cover album. The cover album where she covers Strange Fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Because I heard that. I was riding in a van in Europe a year ago, and someone played that, and I went and bought it.
What about new
stuff?
Bands? Yes.
That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
New bands. Do I know any new bands? This is terrible.
I know, right now...
I'm drawing a blank on the new bands.
Mastodon released new records.
Yeah, I have it. We listened to it in the van the other day. Yeah.
It's Crack the Sky.
It Cracked the Sky. We did. We just had it on. They're kicking butt. They're getting more commercial. But they're...
I don't know, the production, you mean?
Yeah, it is, yeah. The voices.
Yeah, they pick up Brandon O'Brien. Yes.
Right. No, but they're definitely kicking butt.
Okay, whatever. What can we expect from tonight's show?
It depends on how crazy you want to act.
Totally.
Yeah. Okay, well, then you can you can expect complete insanity.
Yeah, I like it.
You want to scream real loud and bang your head? Then it's going to be insane.
You're going to open your amps on the maximum. Gosh. Maximum distortion and everything.
Only so far as the music will allow. We don't want to make shitty music.
That's okay. Okay, Chaz, thank you for your time and see you tonight.
Right on. Thanks for having me.
To je bila Čežer, bobnarka skupine Stinking Lizaveta, ki bo nocoj nastopila v Menzi pri Koritu. Vstop bo ob 9, koncert pa se bo pričel ob 9.30 s predskupino End of Level Boss. Za konec pa poslušamo še komad Zeitgeist, The Movie iz nove plošče. Z vami sem bil Gašper P.